day, praying every day. The date for the Bible Readers Banquet has been set. It's the fourth Friday in January, 6 o'clock on a cold Friday night. And I think that's the 24th, I think it is. And the preacher already put a sign-up sheet on the board. It'd be a little different than those Tuesday senior dinners. On those dinners, those monthly dinners, usually about 15 sign up and about 40 show up. But we can't do that on the Bible Readers Banquet. You will have to sign the paper or there won't be a plate for you. A little more particular, a little more special that night. Okay, we've been trying to start the book of Genesis in chapter 1 and 2. We looked at the creation of all things. There's 56 verses, and now we're starting chapter 3, trying to start chapter 3, and it only took man 6 verses to mess everything up. And we're pretty good at that. Man messes up everything he touches. For review, we only got 7 verses. I'd like to read those 7 verses. But also, I'm pretty much amazed. We got the most important book in the world, and we heard a rumor that chapter 3 is the most important chapter, and there's only 1,189 chapters. That's the most important chapter in the Bible. It's what we're kind of determining as we go through it and see if that's right. But then also, we learned that one word in this most important chapter in the most important book is used 17 times, and it's the most important word in the most important chapter in the most important book, and it's a three-letter word. Eat. Yeah, everybody understands eat or don't eat. That's a joke about I'm not understanding my Bible. I know there's a thing or two in there. I know I don't understand it all. I know we don't understand it all, but for the most part, your Bible's easy to understand. That's not the problem. It's like that fellow sitting on the courthouse steps with his chin in his hand, and he's saying, "Oh, them scriptures. Oh, them scriptures." And somebody come along and said, "You having trouble understanding the scriptures?" He said, "No, it's not the ones I don't understand. It's the ones I do understand that's giving me fits." So we all understand that eat and not eat. Everybody in the room understands it. I'm thinking about changing it to digest and write me a version. That's about how they do it. Anyway, the corruption of all things is what we're talking about. I'm going to write me a version, change eat to digest, and say that eat is archaic word. Too old. Been using it too long. I need to put a new word in there. That's what I'm going to do, I think. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Now back in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, God's talking. It's the Word of God. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And chapter 3, verse 4 is a version of that. And the serpent says, "Ye shall not surely die." That's a version of 2:17. Surely the serpent wouldn't be behind the versions, would he? "For God doth know," that's verse 5 now, chapter 3, verse 5. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." See, the problem is we feel. Brother Rick feels, and what he should do is think. That's what I should do. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also to her husband, unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, the most dangerous lie is the one that's closest to the truth. If you remember, Decon's 98% cornmeal. It's only 2% arsenic. But one more thing here in verse 5. It says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as little g gods, knowing good and evil." Now, the serpent told them the truth right there. Before that, they knew one thing. Now, they're getting ready to know two things. And you see it come out in verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew. They knew. They knew. But it was too late. It was too late. They knew. The serpent told them the truth on one thing. Anyway, or half truth. Okay, we're on now. Now, what they got because they know is a guilt complex, and we live in a maze of multiplied misinformation. Let me say it again. We live in a maze of multiplied misinformation. You talking about YouTube, Brother Rick? Yes. You talking about the two Facebook? That's what I'm so glad Brother Dave's here this morning. That's what he always calls it, is the two Facebook. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. We live in a maze of multiplied misinformation. Let's check it out in Proverbs 26:2. That's not all I'm talking about. That's just a couple of things. There's bad books, there's good books, there's bad books. Proverbs 26:2. As a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the cursed causeless shall not come. See, this just jumped out at me this week. I can cause the curse to come by wandering around. If I don't go home tonight, I might cause a curse to come on my home. I go to wandering around. I might curse it myself. What it says is, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. If I go to wandering around into other versions and leave this book behind, leave the truth behind, you know, I might cause a curse to come. I might. Teddy believes it. Anyway, we're on verse 8. And they heard the voice. We'll talk about that voice a little bit here in a minute. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. You ever hear, have a voice walk? Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Was it the voice or the presence? Which was it? Is the voice the presence, the Word of God, the voice? Is God present? Is He on every page? Is He in every chapter? Is He inside this book? How about this? And they heard the voice and they hid from the presence. How about they heard the presence and hid from the voice? I'm not going to say they're equal, but it looks to me like they are. They're awful. And they heard the voice and they hid themselves from the presence. Let's look at that voice for a little bit. Matthew 17:5. Matthew 17:5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice. We're talking about the same voice. Behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." I'm going to go ahead and mark it down that Jesus is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. It's what the Father said. The God-man. Emmanuel, God with us. His presence. John 3:29. talking about the voice and His presence. John 3:29, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. Anybody friends with the bridegroom? Which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly. Because, why? Because of the bridegroom's voice. What a voice. This is the joy. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. There's joy in the voice. And we can rejoice over the voice of the bridegroom. We can do it. Chapter 10. Four and five. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. But a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, you go to a funeral, and the preacher reads something, and you say, there's something not right about that. That's not what I'm used to. That's not a familiar voice to me. That's not the voice of the bridegroom. And we don't follow him home. We don't follow that. We follow the voice, the presence. Chapter 12, this is still John, verse 28. Starting in 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. As far as I can see, He did it all for me. We got this voice, this presence right here for our sake. The Lord doesn't need it. We need it. I need this. I need the voice. I need the presence. I need the presence of God. I need it. Chapter 18, still in John. Verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And we get in on the presence. John chapter 7, verse 46. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. No voice like this voice. No sword like Goliath's sword. Nothing like what God gives us, where we get His presence. His presence is with the voice. Ezekiel 43:2. Behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with His glory. Sometimes that's the way it is. So many times, the way it works with me is like in 1 Kings. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Usually that's how He works. Usually He speaks to our heart first. Usually, if I won't listen, He'll take other measures. Revelation 1, of course, Revelation 1. Verse 12 And I turned to see the voice. You ever seen a voice? I turned to see the voice. How about the Word of God? How about the presence of God? I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And then in verse 15, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. His presence. Now, Adam and Eve hid, and their conscience did not lead them to God. Their conscience started working. The problem with my conscience is I don't always obey it. I need something to guide my conscience. I need the voice. I need the presence. Let's go back to chapter 3 now. Genesis chapter 3. That was verse 8. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Anybody believe that God did not know where Adam was? No, he knew. God knew right where he was. Adam didn't know where he was. Adam needed to find himself. Adam was lost. God wasn't lost. He said, Where art thou? He's wanting Adam to think. He's wanting Adam to think about it. And this is the first question in God's search for man. Religion says that man hunts for God. But the truth is, I never know him to find him. He doesn't find him. God searches for man.
Yeah.
I was going down the road one day, and I got arrested. I got stopped. I got written up. I was going this way, and the Holy Ghost, the high sheriff of heaven, pulled me over and stopped me. And he wrote me up. You know what he wrote me up for? I was going the wrong way. He said, Son, look here. This is a broad road. There's room over here for the whole world. The world's on this road. The serpent's on this road, and you're on this road, and they're all the same road. He said, Look, son, I need you to turn around and follow me to headquarters.
Yeah, that's good.
That's about 50 years ago, and we're almost there.
Yeah.
We're almost there.
Yeah, that's good.
The Lord. Let's look at Isaiah 1:18. He called to me is what happened. He called my name. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That was God's first question in search for man. God is on the track of man. Let's look at verse 10 now, back in Genesis 3:10. And he said, this is Adam talking now. God said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Well, he'd never been afraid before. He was naked before and didn't know it. But now he knows two things. Now he's got sin and guilt.
Yeah.
And guilt comes. You know, a guilt complex can be healthy if it brings you to the Master, if it turns you around. He never been afraid before. 2 Timothy 1:7. That's correct. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You can't be afraid and have faith at the same time.
That is right.
It's one or the other. Yeah. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, I was just about to lose my mind before he arrested me. Adam said, I heard I was afraid, I was naked, and I hid. Why did he not just go ahead and say, I've sinned? Man, modern man still does the same thing. We still do the same thing. Natural man, we just heard it today in the prayer room, fellas. Natural man never seeks God. Romans 3:11.
Right.
There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's natural, man. Now, maybe you got saved and got a new heart. That might be why you're here this morning. I hope that's why. But natural man, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. None. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek. See, we're not seeking Him. He's seeking us.
Yeah.
The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yeah.
Chapter 15. Verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? See, the sheep don't seek the shepherd. The shepherd seeks out the sheep. The lost sheep in particular. Verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently? How long? Till she finds it. See, the silver doesn't seek the master. The owner seeks the silver. That's just the way it goes. John 15:16. Natural man does not seek God. He hides like Adam did. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. See, it's the Lord. It's the Lord that chased me down. It's the Lord that arrested me. It's the Lord that stopped me. It's the Lord that turned me around. I wasn't looking for Him. I was running. I was hiding. I was running. Back to chapter 3, verse 11. Here's question number 2 in God's search for man. And He said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, one Saturday night, Danny Legge preached a message here at a youth rally, and the title, I think the title was, or one big point was, who told thee? Who told thee? Now, I don't have any of that. I don't remember anything he said, but I made my own list. I just got a picture. Again, a school teacher comes out at me. I walk in a classroom, and there's, I'm going to say, a seventh grader swinging a ball bat around over his head. And I say, who told you to do that? Everybody else is outside. Who told you to come in? Why are you here? Is that your ball bat? No. Who told you to swing it around? Was you planning on breaking the lamp or the windows out? That's the situation we find ourselves in many times. I wonder, who told me to do that? Why? Why did I do that? You ever wonder that? He said, who told you to do that? Let me ask you this. Don't answer out loud. Don't raise your hand. Who told you that you can live however you want to and everything's going to end up good? Think about it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Who told you that if you live however you want to, the way the television teaches you to, who told you you can live however you want to and everything's going to end up good?
Think about that.
Who told you? Let me ask you something. Who told you that a new version's easier to read?
Right.
Maybe the story of the Lord. They used to have a full-page ad on RV or something like that. Who told you that it's the Word of God too? Who told you that? It wasn't me. You didn't hear it around here?
Right. That is right.
Who told you that it's the same thing? See, ain't nobody goes out and buys a version because it's the same thing.
That is right.
Nobody. 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 Matter of fact, I was thinking the other day, next week, the Lord willing, we're going to get the concordance out and look at some things. You know, they got a concordance just for the NIV. You know why? It's different. It's different. It's not the same thing.
Exactly.
Who told you it's the same? Who told you not to pass up one church to go to another? I've heard that. I don't know where I was standing when I heard it. I forget who said it, but I've heard it. Brother Roger, how many churches you passed coming down here? Brother Matt, how many churches you passed on the way over? Who told you not to pass one church to go to another? I wouldn't listen to them. I wouldn't do it. Who told you to let your children decide whether to brush their teeth or not? How about playing a road? And playing a road? Who told you to buy them a phone? Hast thou eaten of the tree that thou shouldest not eat of? Let's read it again, verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? But why didn't he just say, yes, I'm sorry? Because we don't do it like that.
Right.
We don't do it. We hide. We hide. I tell you about my cousin that bought that smart car. It won't let her in. For the last 2 or 3 months, there have been sometimes 25 people. Kim's been feeding 25 people and sleeping 25. She bought some air mattresses. That's not every night, but 2 or 3 nights we did that, and several meals. Kelly and Kim did that. And Thanksgiving was one of those nights. I think there was only like 19 that time. But what happens is, Paul and all the kids come in, and then they brought two sisters from college in with them, and they had their own car. And then it's such a phenomenon, then others want to come. So that's how we get 25. But anyway, Thanksgiving, Sunday after Thanksgiving, Paul was scheduled to be out at Liberty at Horseshoe, and the two girls in their car, which had been running around with him, when they got through with that service, they were going to go south back to college, and Paul was coming over this way for something. And it come a big snow, if you remember, and they called the pastor. As far as they could get was Sunday Road. And they called the preacher and they rescheduled. And actually, Paul just went this past Sunday. But after they left Sunday Road, they needed to go to the Exxon, I guess, for gas or whatever. And Paul got that van, you know, these vans around here, church vans. They'll get stuck up on dew, level ground on dew. But somehow he got his up around those gas pumps over at the Exxon. It's the New River Exxon. And then he went to take those girls' car up around there, and he said when that thing would spin, the motor would quit. Just like Kim's car, the motor quits at a red light. Well, he said as soon as that thing spun, the motor would quit.
Right. Yeah.
It was a smart car. And he was pretty much, no thank you, brother. He was pretty much wound up time he got home on the smart cars. But anyway, he explained to me that thing, that smart car had an owner's manual, and it said in there it was designed for the highway. And the highway was designed for that car. See, if I try to take that thing up on Shane's job, it's going to shut. There will be all kinds of messages come over that thing. Do you understand? We got a manual. And if you get off the road that you was designed for, you're going to shut down. You're going to have lots of problems. The motor might quit. The motor might quit. Let's go back to chapter 3 now, verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And let's look at that in 2 Corinthians. We'll get back to the meat there in a minute. 2 Corinthians 11:3. This was our memory verse at one time in big Sunday school. 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'll just start at number 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. Now let me go ahead. We're going to hit the word simplicity down here in a minute. And let me just go ahead and say right now, there's nothing more simple than one husband.
Right.
Girls, if you want to complicate your life, get you two of them.
Right.
No thanks. It's correct.
Yeah.
It's what the manual says. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent, just like the serpent, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus... You understand that means there is another Jesus. There's some cheap imitations running around.
Yeah.
And he warns us against it right now, right here. He said, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received. Let me just go ahead and say the versions have another spirit in them.
Yes, they do.
And it does have, they do have the spirit of fear. Let's just take that for an example. God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but the versions don't make you servants. They make you slaves.
Yeah.
And along with that comes fear. If you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, let me go ahead and say the versions have a works gospel, a be good salvation. You're to be faithful, not have faith. And it's over and over and over again. Which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now that bear right there, I just take it real personal. I say it's time for bare knucks. I say it's a time to bear arms. If somebody comes out with another version, another spirit, another Jesus, another Bible, I'm going to take it real personal.
Yeah.
I'm not against one version. I'm against all. Let me just go ahead and say this. I don't want us to forget the lesson we learned in January. I learned it that week, and I tried to get it across here, that there's only two Bibles. There's two Greeks, and we looked at them. And in the introduction to the wrong one, the wrong crowd said there's 400 versions come out of that corrupt Greek. And every one of them's against my Savior and against this book. All, each and every one of the 400 is against this. And I take it personal. Take it personal. Chapter 3, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, notice this, he asked the man what the problem was, and the man said, it's the woman. But he didn't stop there. He went ahead and blamed God. It wasn't just any old woman. He said, it's the woman you gave me.
Right. Right.
Now, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad right there. And so the Lord asked the woman. She said, it's the serpent. The serpent's fault. I'm talking about passing the buck right on down. We will do anything but say I'm guilty, I did it,
yeah.
I'm wrong. We'll do anything. And right here's where we got it from Papaw.
Yeah.
From Papaw. What hast thou done? Now, the Lord knows what they did, but He's wanting them to think about it. He's wanting them to know what they did. Do we know what we did? You know, some people watch things happen. Some people make things happen. And some wonder what happened. Do you know what we've done? Do you know? Let me give you one more, lest I forget next week. The fourth question in God's search for man is over in chapter 4, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where's Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, yes. More and more I look at it, the answer is yes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.
It won't be the first Friday. It won't be on the floor. No, it won't be like that for you. Thank you.